The first reading is John chapter 3, verses 22 to 36. After this, Jesus and his disciples went to the province of Judea, where he spent some time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon, not far from Salem, because there was plenty of water in that place. People were going to him, and he was baptizing them. This was before John had been put in prison. Some of John's disciples began arguing with a Jew about the matter of ritual washing. So they went to John and said, "Teacher, you remember that man who was with you on the east side of the Jordan, the one you spoke about? Well, he is baptizing now, and everyone is going to him." John answered, "No one can have anything unless God gives it to him. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. The bridegroom is the one to whom the bride belongs, but the bridegroom's friend who stands by and listens is glad when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This is how my own happiness is made complete. He must become more important while I become less important. He who comes from above is greater than all. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly matters. But he who comes from heaven is above all. He tells what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his message. But whoever accepts his message confirms by this that God is truthful. The one whom God has sent speaks God's words, because God gives him the fullness of his Spirit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything in his power. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not have life, but will remain under God's punishment." The second reading is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of mankind, he sat down in heaven at the right-hand side of God, the supreme power. The Son was made greater than the angels, just as the name that God gave him is greater than theirs. Amen.
Both scripture passages, which were read to us, tackle the fundamental question underlying all four Gospels and many of the epistles. Who is Jesus? The passage that Catherine read to us from John chapter 3 comes following the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Jesus tells Nicodemus that to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Nicodemus asks how it is possible to return to his mother's womb. Jesus explains the birth he is talking about is a spiritual rebirth. Following this conversation, Jesus and his disciples had travelled to the River Jordan. Jesus and his disciples were baptizing there. At the same time, John the Baptist was on the other side of the river, where he was also baptizing people. Baptism was a public proclamation where people stating their belief and desire of turning away from their old life and turning away from sin and emerging from the water cleansed from their sins, an act of repentance. Verse 25 tells us that an argument broke out, although other versions say a discussion, with some of John's disciples and a Jew about the matter of ritual washing or purification. The Bible doesn't tell us what this argument was based on, so we can only guess. It could have been about the differences between the practical process of purification and baptism. Purification being a ceremonial act rather than baptism, which is sacred. I remember reading about a mum who was trying to explain the act of baptism to her young daughter. Her young daughter sat there mesmerised with the explanation. At the end of the conversation, the little girl said, "Mummy, I know it's not the water that makes you clean." Her mum looked at her with pride as she thought her little girl had grasped it. The little girl then turned to her mum and said, "Mum, it's not the water, it's the soap." The argument could have been about who was doing the baptising. Was the idea of who was doing the baptising more important? John was offering baptism for repentance. Jesus, however, could baptise using the Holy Spirit, offering eternal life. We need to bear in mind that the ministry of John the Baptist throughout the Gospels is a big deal. So when John's followers see Jesus on the other side of the Jordan, they confront John, saying to him, "That man who was with you, he is on the other side of the river. He is baptising people and they're all going to him." John's followers didn't like it at all. They were loyal to John the Baptist. A new man had come into their town. To them, Jesus was competition, and John's disciples felt threatened of this competition. This is a dramatic encounter between what people, especially John's followers, think are rivals. This is like buskers or street vendors or stall holders at an exhibition, all fighting over the prime spot. They want all the customers, the footfall. And all of a sudden, this guy turns up and John doesn't seem to be that special anymore, and they are jealous. That would have been a problem if Jesus had been the latest fad or new trend. But John knew better. That's the whole story. It's the fulfillment of the Advent prophecies. A voice in the wilderness. Make way. Notice that John's disciples did not refer to Jesus by name. John knew who Jesus was, but his disciples didn't. Not yet. God had sent John to be a messenger, the one who would let others know that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, was coming. John had no problem whatsoever at sending people to Jesus. That was the plan the whole time. As most of you know, I help at the Eleanor Roxburgh School of Dance. The dance school consists of over 100 girls. No boys, which is a shame, but that's another matter. The highlight for the girls and for me is when we hold our dancing displays over 2 or 3 nights at Motherwell Concert Hall. These take place every 18 months. I know firsthand the hard work and preparation that goes into the show. The dancing teachers need to come up with relevant themes for the show, then find around 40 pieces of music to fit in with the theme, choreograph routines, and then for girls aged 2 to 22, choose and organise around 4 costumes each. Not an easy feat, I can tell you. For the dance teachers, it is months of hard work, sleepless nights, preparation and stress. When the curtains open at the beginning of the first show until the final curtain closes at the end of the last show, the dance teachers slide into the background. It's all about the girls on stage. The applause, credit, praise is all for the girls who have participated on stage, and that's how it should be. That is the whole purpose of the preparation, hard work and determination of the dance teachers. At no point do they come onto the stage and say, "Look what we've done," and rightly so. Their job is to teach and prepare the girls for their show and let them shine. In verse 28, John tells us, the bridegroom is the one whom the bride belongs. But the bridegroom's friend, the one who stands by and listens, is glad when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This is how happiness is made complete. He must become more important, while I become less important. In those days, it was the responsibility of the best man or best friend of the groom to take care of the preparations and the lead-up to the wedding. When the wedding arrived, the best man would be the vital connection for the groom, ensuring he got his bride. The best man basically done all the groundwork for the wedding, making sure all the invitations were delivered and being the master of ceremony at the event. Another responsibility of the best man, he had to guard the bridal room, as it was not unknown for other men to come and try and take the bride away from her groom. The best man, however, knew what the groom's voice sounded like and knew who to let enter the room. Not once did the best man feel used or jealous, as his job was to make sure that the bride and groom consummated their marriage, as the marriage like now is not fulfilled until after this act has taken place. That was it. It is not the best man who is honoured, but the groom. The best man has no rights to the bride. He is full of joy in the part that he played. He was happy to fade into the background. His work here was done. John's disciples would have totally understood what John was saying. John's job was to bring the bride, being the people of Israel, together with Jesus, the bridegroom. Now John's job was complete. John was happy, and he didn't even have to make a speech or toast the bridesmaids. C.S. Lewis once put it, "Play great parts without pride, and small parts without shame." It is natural and completely necessary that John, the generous best man, becomes less important. That's how things were meant to work out. The fundamental basis of John's ministry was designed to point to and lead people to Christ. John understood his place. He was just a man. It's no loss to lose anything to Christ. Christ is from heaven, and everything comes from him and belongs to him anyway. He is higher than John and higher than the angels. John's followers came to John and said, "He's a threat to your ministry, and everyone is going to turn to him instead of you." That was the whole purpose of John's ministry. And what was he? And that's what was supposed to happen. John had completed his mission and completed it well. God's plan was always Jesus. John was part of that plan, but not the focus. He tells his followers that only through Jesus can they ever know eternal life. Accept Jesus and know eternal life. John understood that God had called him to work for the kingdom, and he had succeeded in the work that God had called him to do. John had preached confession of sin and offered baptism into forgiveness. Jesus, however, could offer much more. Jesus could offer the gift of eternal life. John knew this and knew that Jesus was the one who had come to save. We can get so caught up in the doing of the ministry that we lose sight that it is not the ministry that saves us, but it is the person, Jesus. We are changed because we are forgiven, because of our faith in God, not because of any work we can do. The change comes because we ask for forgiveness, and then we are changed because we are renewed, born again, when we receive that forgiveness, just as the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. John's attitude was of dedication and service. He was willing to put aside his standing because he knew Jesus was the one. The one everyone had been waiting for. John humbled himself before Christ. We too are called to set aside our jealousy and grasping for position and praise and follow Christ. We are called to humble ourselves before the throne. John knew this and asks us to know it too. We are all called to acknowledge who is Jesus. The bridegroom whose bride is in the church everywhere. The one who is loved and trusted by God and sent to give all who believe in him the gift of eternal life. The only one who can give or withhold eternal life. Co-creator with God and who has been there since the beginning of time. The reflection of God's glory and allows us to see exactly what God is like. A light that no darkness can ever put out. The Messiah, Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We cannot allow ourselves to lose sight of the fact that Jesus is our Saviour. When we lose sight of that, we are useless in God's kingdom. The new way introduced by John and supported by John the Baptist takes us beyond the old system of punishment to a different kind of world in which trusting and following Christ releases us into a new and abundant way of living which surpasses death but begins here and now. Jesus is not here to judge but to be a light that no amount of darkness can ever put out. We take a candle into a room to dispel the darkness. Likewise, the light of Jesus Christ has to be taken into the darkness of sin that engulfs the lives and the hearts and lives of those who are following him. That's the condition behind having this light, that we follow him. If we do not follow him, we will not have this light, this truth, this eternal life.